You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? We are live at the Dynasty Happy Hour. We're on Periscope, YouTube, and Facebook. If you want to see our half beautiful faces, make sure you go and subscribe on all of those avenues. Yeah, I'm not so pretty either. Tyler's probably the prettiest one of the three of us. If I had to
rank. I'm also the youngest. So
yeah, call me back when you're 42 and you'll see what you look like.
Yeah. I'm probably not good. Like, I'll probably look like just like one of those garden gnomes, but it's like one of the ones that you mow by all the time and just rocks hit it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not going to be a pretty sight. I mean,
it's full of imperfections.
Yeah. I legit have very fair skin, so the sun is just going to impact it. I'm going to look like an old leather bag that looks like it has like spots on it. Yeah, it's going to be bad.
You're going to be blotchy. Yeah, we'll tune in, you know, years from now, and we'll
be a good nickname on that. Blotchy. Splotchy.
Hey, hey guys, you want to play some splotchy ball out in the yard?
Splotchy.
Oh man, it's week one, and I got to tell you, I felt back to normal. I took up my normal spot on the couch for 7 or 8 hours and just watched football all day, and it was absolutely glorious. Tyler, how did you watch football today?
Well, I watched it for a little bit, then we had some company, and then we had the company go, so I got to watch a little more. Yeah, I watch a little bit of afternoon games. It was nice because the Atlanta game and the Minnesota game were kind of out of hand by then. So I was like, okay, I'll go visit. But the thing is, I have a Fitbit and I get alerts for it. So I kept feeling it vibrate. I'm like, okay, who scored? Who scored?
And it's like, you need to move.
I know. And I'm sitting there like my ADD's kicking in. Like, okay, I need to go check. Nope. We got company. So yeah, but other than that, no, it was good. It was great to have football back. Amazing stuff, lots to talk about, but you know what, we're going to keep it simple this year.
Yeah, we're not going in game by game breakdowns or anything like that. Each of us have four observations from this week, so we're going to go over those. 12 big takeaways is what we're going to call it. We each have four, because if you can do math, 12 divided by 3 equals 4. So there you go, you just learned a math lesson. My son goes back to school tomorrow. It's remote for now, and then he goes back a couple days. It's going to be a S show. Not really looking forward to it, but hey, it is what it is. So, Tim, did you enjoy some football today? I know your team, unfortunately, did not win today, but did you enjoy watching football at least?
Yes, it was nice to watch the sport of football. It was horrific to watch the Eagles. Amazing front seven pressure by the Redskins today. I know they... Yeah. They got up to 6 sacks at one point. They might have got 7 or 8. Yeah, I actually got up from the couch and went and vacuumed through the living room, put the dishes away from the dishwasher. I needed a little bit of a break. Thank you, FF Intervention. They did get to 8 because I was very, very upset with the Eagles' performance. I had Red Zone on a device, and I kept flipping back and forth between the Eagles game as well as the Browns game. You know, when the Eagles game would go to commercial. So it was good to see football. You know, the game of the week didn't do much for me. The Saints Bucks game.
Yeah. Saints destroyed them.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close. Brady looked very rusty second half.
I would say early on, he made some throws in the first drive that I was, oh, okay. But Yeah, overall, not a great game. I didn't think so. And
So you said you're switched between the Eagles and the Browns. Mm-hmm. So you're switching between two very questionable quarterbacks. Like the future of these two quarterbacks. Like I in fantasy, I don't know if I can ever start Wentz and Baker. Like
hold your tongue on Wentz.
I thought Carson looked good. He looked really good in the first half, and then the second half
Haskins? Mean Haskins and Baker?
Haskins. Haskins, I don't know what his deal is. Like he is, I think he's a lost soul, but Baker is as well, and that's going to be one of my takes. Wentz, he started off hot. He needs to keep the momentum, and his second half throughout his whole entire career seemed like he just falls apart.
Well, you saw very early in the game once he had a little bit of blocking, Rieger got open deep. He hit him.
Yeah,
almost in stride. It was a pretty decent throw. He missed him on the next one deep, but it was fun to watch football. Yes. But you mentioned the bad quarterback play. You also have Lamar Jackson, who was playing against the Browns. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's a good quarterback play.
He's a cheat code. He's an absolute human cheat code.
We're going to talk about number 15 for a team, too, with one of my takes.
Yeah. So let's. So I'm just going to outline the show for you guys. We're going to go over some fantasy injuries. We're going to give a little bit of Thursday night review. Obviously, there was some big game performances on Thursday night. We got our stats and stuff segment, and then we have 12 big takeaways. But before we do all that, don't forget to check out DynastyHappyHour.com. There's a new shop just posted with new shirts. We've got IDP Power Hour, Devi Happy Hour shirts, as well as multiple styles of DHH gear. And don't forget to check out Trophy Smack. So when you start your league, you can upgrade it by getting a trophy at trophysmack.com. They've got trophies, belts, rings, even grills if you've got a gangster league, loser trophies, and more. Use code DHHRING to get a free $60 ring with the purchase of a trophy. So let's get into some injuries first, and then we'll get into our Thursday review. So injuries, only a couple real notable ones. Now, the first one, you hate to see it. Marlon Mack went down, no contact injury. It appears it could be an Achilles injury. The team is fearful that he tore his Achilles. We haven't heard anything definitive yet, other than he was going to get a scan on it, and we'll figure that out. Interesting usage from the Colts. They use Nyheim Hines way more than I thought they would.
Yeah,
as a guy that owns Jonathan Taylor in a bunch of spots, including redraft, I was like, what the hell is Nyheim Hines doing on the field all this time? But I will say, you know, you never want to see a guy get an opportunity with someone else get hurt. So, you know, it's unfortunate what happened to Marlon Mack. As fantasy players, we all look forward to what Jonathan Taylor might be able to bring to the table in Mack's absence. And, you know, the thing that surprised me about Taylor's performance, he didn't run the ball all that well, but he was alive in the passing game. And I thought that was very encouraging to see. And that gave me hope that, okay, like, maybe he does have the three down skill set that a lot of people thought he had just because he didn't get a lot of passing game work at Wisconsin. Like his hands looked pretty good. He was making plays in the open field. So that gave me hope that, you know, maybe he's going to be the 20 to 25 touch guy and they work Hines in. Maybe it was just a week one. They give,
have to remember the no camp or the shortened camps this year, no preseason. Oh, sure. These rookies are really behind the eight ball. Unless
I think that's why Hines got a lot of work.
Yeah. So Hines is the guy that's been in the system for a while. He knows that they don't want to go out there and get their new quarterback killed. So
yeah,
you know, they're going to ease this rookie in. They're going to have to ease him in a little bit faster than they probably want to now.
I think we saw that with a lot of the rookie running backs this week. And we'll touch on some of that. Very shortly. The other injury was Le'Veon Bell injured his hamstring. Does it really matter? I mean, Le'Veon Bell, the Jets offense looked absolutely putrid.
Frank Gore season, baby.
Outside of a Jamison Crowder 69-yard nice touchdown, that offense was listless. It was bad. Le'Veon Bell, I don't know. I just don't know what to make of the Jets. I think
Adam Gase.
He's the first coach that's fired, right?
That will be another take we'll get to. And I know one of you guys has it. I thought about it, but oof.
Yeah, so those are the two major injuries. You know, there was some injuries on the defensive side of the ball, but we're not an IDP show, so you're going to have to tune in to the IDP Power Hour for that information. Let's get into the Thursday review. So everyone had sweatpant boners after Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Obviously popped off 25 carries, the first running back to get 25 carries with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. So that was very enticing. Didn't get really much run in the passing game. I think that's coming. I think Tyler wants to play a little DTC calculator game with CEH. Do you or do you not?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Boom. Hit it all up, right. Tyler. Take it away.
So we are going to do a Superflex tight end premium. I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm sitting here with this golden ticket. Had one of the best games we've seen from a rookie since Kareem Hunt with Kansas City. Mm. And you guys are really wanting a piece of this. Now, in a 12-team Superflex tight end premium league, what are you guys willing to offer me for Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Let me get this up on the Dynasty Trade Calculator app. If you guys are not watching live, you guys need to.
I'll give you Christian McCaffrey, Nick Chubb, Josh Jacobs.
I mean, that's what you pretty much have to give these days. Okay. So there's his value. 41.4.
All right. So when I saw this name, I started writing some other players' names down, and here's what I've settled on.
Okay.
For Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I will offer you Kenyon Drake and Allen Robinson.
Okay. Doug, what is your offer?
I'll give you Alvin Kamara straight up.
Alvin Kamara straight up. Which, I mean, Kamara had an touchdown filled game. Other than that, it wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. I mean, personally, I'd rather hold from these two trades. But sure, if I were to have to take a trade, I'm going to go the easy route and just go one for one with Kamara. I mean, he got the big deal. He got the, what was it, a 5-year deal?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go Alvin Kamara. Now let's check to see how even that was. Alvin Kamara up on the calculator is 46.2. Okay. I mean, you're getting 4 years with Edwards-Helaire, which is always nice for a running back.
And attached to the quarterback for many moons.
I mean, Drew Brees, we all expect, is done after this year. Now, let's go take a look at the Kenyon Drake trade just to kind of look at a resource. And the Drake trade, so I put in Kenyon Drake at 15.2. I mean, Drake had an okay game. That touchdown really saved him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did.
And Allen Robinson, who is now apparently the wide receiver 2 for the Bears after Anthony Miller's big game. So it's about even, 39.9 to 41.4. Very close. If you're looking for depth, it could be a way to go. Kenyon Drake is a 26-year-old running back. He's on that one-year deal, and Robinson could be out of Chicago after this year.
Which could be a good thing.
I mean, Trubisky did not look so bad.
He did. If you watch,
Trubisky typically performs well against the Lions in his career. So, yeah, if you watch the game, he didn't look that great.
Yeah, he's actually really athletic.
Athletic. But yeah, he was missing passes. He was very inaccurate for most of the game. He's the new Blake Bortles. They'll get behind.
Yeah.
And then he can just go out there and sling, and that's
garbage time all-stars.
Yeah, I mean,
poor Allen Robinson.
Like Brett Favre was kind of a slinger like this, but he also had some touch when he needed it. You know,
yeah, that's true.
They were down. And they were down by the goal line. He had a guy in the flat, and instead of lobbing it up over, you know, the crashing linebacker or whoever was coming from the outside, he just kind of tries to rope one, and the guy just goes up, elevates, and almost picks it off.
So, if you guys going back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if you guys had him, what are you guys doing? Are you guys going to sell him, or are you guys holding?
I think you need that Godfather offer. I think as the 101, you needed a big time offer to move him, anyways. But now that he's put that, you know, put something behind it. He's put some respect on his own name now. Yeah. Now it's you got to pay up. You got to come and get him if you want him.
Yeah.
I'm not giving him away.
I've seen offers on Twitter that people have actually been offered Clyde Edwards-Helaire for McCaffrey and a third round pick.
Like, I mean, McCaffrey, well, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I mean, of course I'm going to take McCaffrey over Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But it's not crazy to get a one-for-one deal because of the years you're getting back at running back and the offense. I mean, Teddy looked fine to me. I liked kind of what they were doing in Carolina. But, I mean, CMC is, far superior of a player than Edwards-Helaire in my mind. So let's move on to Thursday.
Yeah, so we had our Sammy Watkins tease of the year, you know, last
annual
year.
Annual week one tease.
Week one, he scores 3 touchdowns last year and then doesn't score again for the rest of the season. Now, this year, you know, he has 7 receptions for 80-some-odd yards. I think led the team in targets, if I remember correctly. And, yeah, what are we doing with Sammy Watkins? He seems like he's always been an eternal value the last couple of years in Dynasty. Obviously, coming off the draft capital he had when he went in the top 5 when Buffalo selected him. And he's been, you know, 1,000-yard season is all he's had in his career. He's been pretty much a disappointment. But, you know, we upgrade all the other pieces of the Kansas City offense because they're attached to Patrick Mahomes. But it always seems like Sammy Watkins is the guy that maybe it's just people are sick and tired of being burned. But I think if you're a win now team and you can get Watkins at a good price, I don't think it's a terrible move to make. I know we know he's physically talented. He's got a pretty good rapport with Mahomes. He had a nice game in the Super Bowl. Obviously, he comes out.
He's a lizard.
As long as he can. Yeah, he is a lizard. He's like on Star Trek. He like rips it off. And,
yeah.
But yeah, so I think Sammy Watkins is fine if you're looking for a solid potential wide receiver 3 or a flex play, but nothing more than that. But, you know, he has some upside baked in because he is attached to the most gifted quarterback in the league when it comes to throwing the football. What do you think, Tim?
I'm still kind of a little scared and a little cautious of Sammy Watkins because he does this. He has that boom game, and then he'll go weeks without almost any production, get you a couple catches with a couple yards attached to it, but he doesn't seem to put it in the end zone. And I do believe he scored in the playoffs, but just not for fantasy purposes. So that's kind of why we've kind of forget it a little bit. But you look at this, and everybody knows about the speed on the outside that the Chiefs have, and now they know that this kid behind Mahomes can be a weapon out of the backfield. It has to make some of these secondary targets a little more valuable, so hopefully Sammy Watkins can find a little bit of that value.
Yeah, what do you think about Sammy Watkins, Tyler? Are you just avoiding, or are you like
kind of warming up to it? If you have him, you're holding. He's a great player to have as like a wide receiver 5 or 6 on your team. In case of injuries or bye weeks, he's perfectly fine for that. And he's the possession receiver for Pat Mahomes. He's the more short yardage. I mean, you got Mecole Hardman and Tyreek running these 9s all over the field. And then Sammy's just a 10 yards and here I am. And that worked last game because they were playing zone. So Sammy just slid right into the pocket and caught these short passes. And produced. And if that's the game plan for the Kansas City Chiefs, Watkins is going to have a decent game. So yeah, he's a perfectly fine player to have for injuries.
I think Tyler made a great point there. The Texans made a very strong effort to not allow the big play to beat them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the Andy Reid's a smart enough coach that he's okay. If you're going to take this away or attempt to take this
away, you mean Iron Man?
Yes. I'm not going to continue to try to just hit those things you're attempting to take away. We have the tools to do the other things that we can succeed with. So if they come across teams that continue to try to take the speed away and the deep plays, Sammy Watkins is going to have more of these games.
Yeah, so moving on to the Houston side of the ball. So Will Fuller was really filling into that DeAndre Hopkins role. He led the team in targets, receptions, as well as yards. So I know, Tyler, you're one of the bigger Will Fuller fans in the universe. Do you think this is the right move to use Will Fuller in that more of a possession type of role? Or do you think it's bound to bite Houston? Because we all know Will Fuller has a tendency to get injured. So I'm interested to hear your take on Will Fuller in that particular role for Houston.
You know, Bill O'Brien, is just like, okay, we're going to stick this rook chess piece in a pawn area. It'll be fine. Like, no, Bill, that's not how it works. Players have specific skills for specific roles. Will Fuller is a very fast guy. Yes, he is more than a fast guy, but you can also use him as a fast guy. You can use him down the field. You don't need to use him with these short routes all the time. Let him go downfield. I know Will Fuller was still stretching downfield, but they never threw it to him. It was more of a decoy type play if he did that. Throw the ball downfield to Will Fuller. It's what he's good at. Deshaun Watson missed him on a huge play. It's going to hit every now and then. You got to keep going with it. Will Fuller is a very fast man that you need to utilize. they need to use him like Julio. Like Julio goes deep a bunch, and then he also goes on these slants. Like, use him like that. I mean, Will Fuller isn't Julio. Don't hear what I'm not saying. It's just Will Fuller is a multi-dimensional player, and it feels like they're using him as a possession guy, which if you're going to use him like that, yes, there is a chance Will Fuller can get hurt easier playing that specific role than playing the role he's actually good at.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. So last but not least for Thursday review, David Johnson. Whoa. Do you think he's a sell high or a buy high? Tim, I'm interested in this one. I have my own opinion, but I want to hear what you have to say.
I would, if I had David Johnson on my roster and he put up the game he just did, I am attempting to sell him off right now. I'm going to cash out. Hey, David Johnson, I've been waiting about a year and a half now for you to do this so I could do what I'm looking to do, and that is sell you. So, you know, I'm going to just cash out the shares of David Johnson that I have based off this performance. I liked what I saw out of him. I hope he continues to do this. I just fear that, you know, it's not going to continue.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, David Johnson obviously looked like he had a little bit of oomph, as Tyler would say, you know, more than he did last year when he was nursing the injuries, and he just didn't look like the same type of guy from an athletic standpoint. Duke Johnson didn't look good at all. So if David Johnson were to go down with an injury, Lamar Miller is going to come back or something silly like that. But so Tyler, what do you think is the maximum value you could get from someone for David Johnson now? You think based on this performance and maybe a team that needed another running back would give up a 2021 first for David Johnson? Or do you think that's insane?
Yeah. I mean, the week one panic is a real thing. And a lot of people, if they lose week one and they lose, like say Marlon Mack went down and that was your RB2, a lot of people are going to panic and they're going to be like, crap. Like running backs did not do so hot this week. I mean, there was a few.
There was no 100-yard rushers, right? Other than Blair. Yeah.
Yeah. And Kyler Murray. So,
at the actual running back position. Yeah.
Yes, that's true. So yeah, the running back position didn't do so hot. David Johnson showed up. You can go up to him and be like, hey, you know, this could be the piece that sets you over and get that 2021 first. If not, go for the second plus a younger player, or even just go for a young player straight up like a DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I like that. And we'll talk a little bit about him later. R.I.P. Anyway, just kidding. He's not dead. He's not dead. I'm just kidding. So now it is time for stats and stuff. So I'm going to give you some info for two mystery players. Tim and Tyler will decide which player they prefer. And if they think they know, they can guess the players after everyone has answered. I'll reveal at the end who they are and their ADPs. Let's look at two tight ends this week. So tight end A, 88 receptions last season, falling 84 yards short of a 1,000-yard season. Tight end looks to be the top receiving option on his team. When getting the starting role, this tight end has had 5 straight seasons with 70 or more receptions. He's under the age of 30. For example, Travis Kelce will be turning 31 next month. In 2019, his PFF grade was 72.7. Tight end B was a top tight end in his first 2 seasons, joins Kittle, Kelce, and Andrews as the only tight ends to do so. So a tight end 1, I believe, is what he's saying. This tight end looks to be, at best, the second receiving option on his team, depending on the week. He had 87 targets in 2019. In 2019, his PFF grade was 82.7. Tim, which tight end would you rather have, tight end A or tight end B?
Oh, I think our guys that did our stats and stuff segment might have flown a little too close to the sun. I think I know them both.
Okay.
I know A. A is pretty easy.
Agreed.
I mean, Tim, he's right in your neck of woods.
Mm-hmm. I really like both of these tight ends, actually. This is tough. It's tougher than I thought it would be, honestly. I'll go with tight end A.
I'm going to go B because I know what A is and I don't know what B is, and I like being surprised.
Okay. All right, Tyler, who's tight end A?
A is Ertz.
That's what
I mean. The targets were a giveaway.
B is his teammate.
Dallas Goedert.
Yep, you are correct. B is Dallas Goedert, who went over 100 yards, I believe, today. Cool. Ertz had a touchdown, so they tend to be the top two. I think it's really interesting as one of the teams that really utilizes both tight ends and does it really well.
It's all they have.
So I think, you know, knowing the names, I actually think I would take tight end B, because I think Zach Ertz is going to be, I think this is going to be his last year in Philadelphia. And well, I think they're going to hand the reins over to Dallas Goedert and let Ertz walk because of his age, because of the contract situation that's going on. And they're just going to realize like, oh, Dallas Goedert's still going to be on his rookie deal and he can do all the things that Ertz can do for the most part. So like, and the Eagles, I know that the cap is a mystery thing because like the Vikings have like a dollar left and then they signed Dalvin Cook for $12 million a year.
The cap is going to be the reason that Ertz is going.
Yeah, because the cap's going to come down next year. So there's going to be a lot of these players making big money that are seemingly, I don't want to call him replaceable. He's a very good player. Don't get me wrong. But there's going to be tough decisions. And when you have like, okay, we have this guy making $12 million or this guy making $1 million that can do most of the things that the $12 million guy does. Okay, we're going to keep Dallas Goedert. So I would actually, knowing the names, I would actually pick Goddard and I would sell Ertz in Dynasty for all of those reasons. Because we don't know where he's going to land and all those other things. Plus he's up there in age, although he is productive. So that's my opinion on Ertz versus Goddard.
No, I agree.
That's the stuff. Yes. All right, so let's get into 12 big takeaways. We're going to start with Tyler, then we'll go to Tim, and then I will be the caboose this week, the last man on the human centipede to talk about. That's disgusting. To talk about 12 big takeaways.
Wait, who's like the last?
The choice of positioning, yeah. And you chose to be
you the last chose man on the human the last?
Centipede. Tyler's got the... So as I was saying the three names, the human centipede yeah. came to mind. I didn't willfully choose last based on that scenario.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Tim's got it worst. I mean, he's got both sides.
He likes to give and receive. What can I say? There's nothing wrong with that.
Nice guy.
So Tyler, right. Give us your first big takeaway from week one.
Oh, man. I was actually very partial to this before the season because I was starting to get a little hesitant about Baker. But man, today really showed me. Like, I know Baltimore's defense is good, but there, if you're a good quarterback, if you're a top tier quarterback, you come through. You're a player that it doesn't matter the matchup. You're still going to have moments where you shine. But when you have your star receiver, Odell Beckham, I know it happens a lot, so upset at overthrown balls and just not even in the area, it's so bad. Like, Baker has shown me nothing the past probably 10 games, like just nothing. And then you got Minshew, like Minshew mania down in Duval, like the dude went 19 for 20.
He's the first player in NFL history to throw for three touchdowns and complete like 90% of his passes in week one in history.
Like, for 173 yards, three touchdowns, Chenault, Chark, and who is the other one?
Keelan Cole caught the other one.
Keelan Cole.
Who I've always liked.
The dude spreads the ball around. He's super smart and very safe with the ball. He's like a souped up game manager for Jacksonville. He's somebody.
The only argument I would have for Minshew versus Baker's, Baker's also learning a new system again this year. Minshew is not only in the same system, but
they have Jay Gruden.
Oh, you're right. They do have a new OC.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're arguing the same thing.
But there was already that talk that the Jags are going to be the worst team. There's that talk that they're going to be the worst team. The Jags will go out, and with the first, you know, top three pick, they'll go get the, you know, next quarterback for the team. So Minshew can just kind of go out there and let it ride. Just I'm going to go out here and play, have as much fun as I possibly can, and see what the hell happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true to a point, but there's got to be some time that we've all got to realize and be like, okay, Baker isn't doing it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Baker's not pulling through.
He's not what a number one pick should look like.
No, not at all. And the issue is that I think he's so in his head. He had that outstanding year one, and now he's just pushing so hard to be that again. Like, he feels like he's just letting everything down.
He's forcing it.
Yeah, he's forcing everything. I mean, they got the weapons, and it's just I struggle with it. And I have one share of Baker, and honest to God, I'm so happy I only have one share because I fear that if he has a bad season this season, we are going down that Blake Bortles role. Like, we're going down that route. And if he has, like, midway through next season, if he's still struggling, when are they going to be like, that's it?
He'll
like,
be gone.
We're done. Yeah. And that's sad to see because he was such a promising player and everybody had such hope in him. It just sucks. And honestly, I'd rather have Minshew than Baker right now. And I know Minshew probably has like 1 year in Jacksonville, but if he shows this season, Jacksonville's going to have no other choice to be like, okay, fine, we'll take a guard or the tackle. There's an amazing tackle prospect this coming draft that they could be like, we'll take him and roll with Minshew with this super cheap contract. Mm-hmm. Why not?
I think that the Jacksonville's very interesting because I think if they you know, they get the number one pick, right? Like they look pretty good today, better than I thought they would.
James Robinson. Woo.
Yeah. I mean, if they get the number one pick, I mean, why wouldn't you draft Lawrence and keep Minshew there and have Lawrence? I mean, if you can,
I mean, you draft Lawrence. Lawrence is playing. I mean, that dude is so good.
I get it. It's a very interesting, it's one of the things that like, so it's always said, like, if you have a quarterback on his rookie contract, you want to build around him and win now because that's the strategy that typically works in the NFL. The Jacksonville Jaguars have obviously, they're like, they don't care because they have a Minshew making peanuts and they don't have, and they gave up all their players. It's just a really interesting strategy to see exactly what they're doing for the future of that team is all I'm saying. But Minshew is a blast to watch. I have him in a league as my QB3 in a league that Tyler and I are in. And I love it. I have Dak, Russell Wilson, and Gardner Minshew. Like, talk about a fun trio of quarterbacks. Like,
yeah,
it's super fun. So that's I love Minshew quite a bit. I do own Baker in a few leagues. Unfortunately, I made a trade. I traded Kyler Murray and TJ Hawkinson for Baker in a league in Bartab when the Baker hype was, and I was bought in, and that hasn't worked out so well. But anyway, let's move on. So Tim, you want to talk about another young quarterback that's been struggling as well. So hit us with your take.
Yeah, we kind of talked about the Jets a little bit earlier, and a guy I absolutely loved coming out of college, Sam Darnold. I'm beginning to fear he could be ruined at this point. And he needs Gase to get away. He needs to get out from under Adam Gase as soon as possible. If you're the Jets owner, you have to realize the potential of a talent you have here at quarterback. And just look at what all the players that have gotten away from Gase have done in their careers since. And you have to think there's a possibility that Darnold could do the same. He could begin to have this revolution and find himself again. But today he went 21 for 35, 215 yards, a touchdown and a pick. It's not the worst stat line in the world. I'm telling you that he didn't look good in the process of doing it.
I mean, it's better than Baker.
It is, but you're talking about guys from the same draft class now that we thought this quarterback class was going to be amazing in rookie drafts. You know, the league MVP from last year was probably the last quarterback taken in a lot of rookie drafts from that class.
Yeah.
There were plenty of people that were really hot on Josh Allen though too.
Yeah.
So I mean,
that is true.
Yeah, my concern is that Sam Darnold, if he does not find a new home, find a new coach, something, and a lot of this is out of his control.
That's what I was going to say. I think Darnold, you know, I don't think they need to make a change in that whole infrastructure. I think Darnold is talented. I have no issues with Darnold's talent. I just think he's been set up to fail the first 3 years of his career. And it's going to take that second landing spot for Darnold, I think, to maybe flourish. Because I still think that he could be a good quarterback in the league. I just think that, you know, with that offensive line issues, the talent that they have around him, like he's shown flashes and he's young. He makes mistakes, you know, the whole see and goes thing. But I could totally see him being a starter in the league just with another team and him being set up for success, which, you know, again, when you have a rookie quarterback, you want to try to build around him, and they've just done a terrible job of trying to put him in the best position to succeed. So I think it might be the next stop for Sam Darnold in order for him to pay off in Dynasty. So speaking about paying off in Dynasty, I know it's only 1 week, but if you listen to this podcast, you've heard me beat the drum for Russell Gage for a while. I picked him up for free in a lot of leagues. You know, Falcons are a pass-heavy offense. He was their wide receiver 3. Laquon Treadwell gets cut. You know, he's their starter. And today, went over 100 yards. He had 12 targets, the same amount as Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. The Falcons' passing offense for fantasy is overpowered. It's completely OP. It's like using a mythic weapon in Fortnite. It's overpowered. So when you have Matt Ryan dropping back, throwing for 400 yards. This is going to be a weekly occurrence because the Falcons defense isn't that great. You know, Todd Gurley in the offense, he got 5 targets. Hayden Hurst got 5 targets. But each receiver getting 12 targets is absolutely absurd. And the plays that Russell Gage did make, he was breaking tackles. He was getting extra yardage. He looked the part. And I think Russell Gage, here's a hot take. Russell Gage, Ridley, and Julio are all going to finish with over 1,000 yards this year. It hasn't happened in a while. Russell Gage is going to be that sleeper that people would have been like, wow, I wish I grabbed him for free a while ago. Was because now he's going to have value. Huh? The Cardinals, I think, were the last one.
Yeah.
I drafted, so it's funny, we did a redraft league with a bunch of Boston industry guys that we do every year called the Beantown Brawl. And I drafted Russell Gage. It's 18 rounds. I drafted him in like round 15. And I was like, oh, I got my guy, Russell Gage. And they're like, oh, yeah, you probably could have waited to the and just picked him up as a free agent. And I'm like, whatever, hate on Russell Gage. So in your face, it's week one. I'm going to take a small victory lap. But I think at the end of the year, all three of these guys are going over 1,000 yards receiving. So that's my big takeaway, is that Russell Gage is for real. That Falcons offense, passing-wise, is overpowered AF. Tyler, back to you.
My next take is Herbert and Tua will be in sooner than later. And that is because Fitz is still a turnover machine. He still makes a ton of mistakes, and he doesn't do anything for this offense. I mean, they are not scared of Fitz magic. As much fun as he is to watch, they are not scared of him at all. Now, we'll go to the Chargers and why I think Herbert will be in very soon. They almost lost to the Bengals. First things first. And Tyrod, what is the one thing you remember about Tyrod offense? Nothing, because it's vanilla.
Dink and dunk.
It is more plain than white paper.
I remember Tyrod in Buffalo, like Doug said, it's dink and dunk, and then he'd uncork a deep one, and he does throw a pretty deep ball.
He did uncork some nice ones to Mike Williams today.
Yeah, but most of the time, Tyrod seems like he's that, like, you know,
game manager plus
junior college quarterback, where it's okay, he's starting to make multiple reads, but he gets to that third one, sometimes doesn't even get to the third one, and he's already like, okay, where's my escape route? How do I get out of the pocket here? I didn't watch a ton of the Chargers game, but I was keeping tabs on the score, and I was like, Bengals were keeping it close. Interesting.
Yeah,
it was a Herbert, slug.
Herbert is going to start, I think, way sooner than people think. We all saw at Hard Knocks that he was making mistakes, but his arm talent is so awesome that it's just going to be like, okay, we are losing. We need a spark. We need something to push us. And what's going to do that? Herbert and his better arm talent and his just physical ability as well. I think Herbert's going to be starting, and Tua as well, starting sooner or later. And I think Burrow rebounds. I mean, Chargers defense.
I think Burrow will be fine. I mean, he made a rookie mistake when the play was breaking down and he kind of shoveled it and Melvin Ingram picked it off. That was just a total rookie mistake. And then obviously at the end of the game, they go to tie it. They probably should have taken a shot in the end zone. You know, AJ Green pushed off. Beautiful toe work on the front pylon there by AJ Green, but they called
it
pass interference. He did look good. He got a lot of targets today. Tyler Boyd took a little bit while to wake up to. I think that offense is going to be fine. You know, Mixon had a fumble. It's week one. I'm not too concerned. I thought for a rookie with no training camp, very little scrimmage work, I didn't think Burrow looked bad at all. And he's going to have that kind of like Minshew does, that underrated rushing ability. So I think Burrow is going to be perfectly fine. And I think if you need that extra spark, be like Tim and try that candy apple crisp bang, because that stuff is good. Love it. Yum, yum. All right. Let's go back to Tim. He's got another bang intake on week one.
The middle of the human centipede.
Yes. Yes. My next take from week one is, if you got to watch any of that Green Bay game.
Oh, I did.
It is clear. Yes, they played the Vikings. It's clear that offense has a quarterback, a very talented running back that I wish they would, you know, integrate more into the offense, but just one receiver, essentially.
Ooh, Jamal Williams?
No, sir. His name's Aaron. He's from UTEP. He's very good. But Davante Adams, 17 targets in week one. I get it, week one, but just if we extrapolate this out over 16 weeks, that's 256 targets. That's insane. I don't think we're going to see 256, But is 200 out of the question? I mean, no. The next closest guy on the team had six. MVS had six targets here. Who looked okay? He
Lazard looked good.
Yeah. Lazard had a couple catches where he looked all right. But yeah, Adams, 17 targets, 156 yards, and two touchdowns. You know, defenses know what they want to do. They just can't stop it. A, Aaron Rodgers still is a very talented quarterback. And Davante Adams is an extremely world-class wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. So I would like to debunk this because Minnesota's secondary is rebuilt. Young. Like the rookie Dantzler was tripping when he was pretty much covering Adams. I feel like there's a dancing joke in there, but I was trying to figure it out on the fly. It did not work out so well. So, but no, the Vikings secondary is super young. Harrison Smith is there and Harris are really good safeties, but the rookie corner got destroyed, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, he's gonna face harder, but Okuda got hurt, so maybe he doesn't have to play Okuda against the Lions.
As Okuda is,
he's a rookie. Yeah
he's still a rookie, and he's a very, very talented cornerback. You have to think Davante Adams is gonna get him a handful of times though, either way.
Yeah
so my big take is about another top five wide receiver that everybody was concerned, there would seem to be a lot of people fading DeAndre Hopkins.
But wide receivers changing teams, Doug.
I know. It was like, oh, we don't know what to expect. Like, his target share could go down, this, that, and the other thing. And all DeAndre Hopkins does in week one is get 16 targets, one less than Davante Adams. He gets a 35% target share from Kyler Murray, and he walks away with 14 receptions for $151. He had a touchdown that got called back because he was down at the like half yard line. I thought it was a bad start for Christian Kirk. I think you could use that to buy low on him. He had five targets and one reception. I think Christian Kirk will be just fine. It is week one, and they obviously were like, you know what? Hopkins just got paid. We're going to feed him. Larry Fitzgerald was kind of a thing of the past, a forgotten man. It was all about Hopkins in the passing game. So it just goes to show that DeAndre Hopkins, no matter where he goes, no matter who the quarterback is, he's just damn good, and he's going to get open, and he is just going to be an absolute target monster. So congrats if you bought low on DeAndre Hopkins switching teams, because there was some concern around volume, because at least in week one, man, the volume was loud and it was great. And Hopkins, although I do think he's lost a little bit of his explosiveness, he's fine as a possession receiver. Like, if he's going to do 14 and 151 and just barely miss a touchdown, I mean, if he's going to have 15 targets a week, that's good enough for me. I don't care. Like, I'm all about the targets, and I think Hopkins is still talented, although I think he's lost a little bit of that juice, but he's still a great, great wide receiver. So if you made a move for Hopkins in the offseason because someone was concerned, congratulations on that. Guess what? He's still a top five dynasty receiver. Book it. Tyler, you want to talk about rookie running backs, buddy?
Yes. My next one is rookie running backs getting some big playing time. And Antonio Gibson looked good. A lot of the smaller running backs look good, but I'm going to talk about the big five. And I mean, Akers is playing right now. We're not really seeing what he's doing. You got CEH, who had the big game on Thursday. DeAndre Swift, he had 34 running back snaps out of 78, which is 44%.
Can they free carry on? Please.
Huh?
Free carry on. Let him go somewhere else.
Via trade. No. Yeah. AP looked good today.
Swift went 3 for 8 and a touchdown. He also had 5 targets, 3 for 15, should have been 4 for about 28 and a touchdown.
And
he had a terrible drop.
Rookie jitters.
Rookie jitters. He wasn't practicing for like 6 days. He wasn't really practicing much for a while, but he got a ton of playing time, and that is very promising to me. And I loved seeing that. I thought maybe he would get 5 total touches and wouldn't get much playing time. But the fact that they're using him in that Kamara-esque role, playing a lot on the third down role, and he ran a lot of routes, I loved seeing that from Swift, and that's exactly what I want to see. And even with the drop, they still had him in. They had to get the ball to the line of scrimmage. And Patricia, everybody was worried, like, oh, Patricia's going to take him out. No, Patricia kept him in. And was like, okay, go out there. You're our best pass catching running back. You're our best route running back. Get out there and keep doing it. It was a mistake. It happens. It sucks. And let's move on. I mean, it killed. I think a little bit of me died cried when that happened. When I saw that,
you were the first person I thought of when I saw it.
Yeah, when it happened, I was just like, "Oh, I legit think my heart stopped for about 10 seconds." Now, the next running back was the aforementioned Jonathan Taylor, so I won't really go deep into it. He had the 6 catches, caught all 6 of his targets,
led the team in receiving yards.
Yep, 67 yards. And I mean, Mac could be out for the year, which would be huge for Taylor's playing time. Mm-hmm. And the next one is J.K. Dobbins for Baltimore. He got some work in the goal line, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. Showed crazy good patience. And I know Doug's going to give CH a hard time, but he capitalized on his whole entire goal line rushes, other than CH not capitalizing. Ooh. But he went 7 for 22 and 2 touchdowns. Ingram had 10 carries. Dobbins had 7. That game was pretty much a blow up from the start. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to be more in line to get a lot more carries. And honestly, I think by midseason, Dobbins could have this backfield. And Ingram is spelling Dobbins.
Yeah, I could definitely see it. They actually split pretty evenly amongst the two of them, which was surprising for me in week one. I was like, oh, okay, this could be a thing.
Gus Edwards is done. I mean,
the Gus bus is getting parked in the station and it's just going to rot. Even they could trade Gus Edwards. He would be, I mean, I like Gus Edwards on another team. That'd be fun.
The Lions would probably take him.
Maybe the Jets if Le'Veon Bell's out for a while.
Or who Tampa knows? Bay.
Yeah, we did have a Josh Adams sighting. Remember him? He was good for
us. Yes, I remember him.
Yep. All right, Timmy, you're up next.
You know what? The Jets should go after Kerryon. Free Kerryon. Anyways, my next takeaway from week one is, Doug, your quarterback for your New England Patriots, Cam Newton. My question is he the only fantasy viable option on this team right now? No. He led the team in rushing. Nobody had over 5 catches for the team. I believe Harry and Edelman tied for 5 catches. You know, this isn't going to be like a pass heavy offense. You know, I thought before they signed Cam that this was going to be a, hey, we're going to play some defense and we're going to run the hell out of the ball. But obviously, with Cam there, he wanted to kind of go out and make a statement. I know he ran that first one in. He's big. He's strong. He looks like he's healthy. I think Cam is going to bring down Edelman. Hopefully, we see some of these other guys begin to step up, but I can't trust any of these running backs, and I don't know
if J.J. Taylor showed pretty well. Let's not.
Yeah, I'm not willing to start any New England Patriot right now until proven otherwise, other than Cam Newton.
I'm going to roll that into my take, which was my last one, but I'm going to move it up because it segues really nicely. Mm-hmm. And it's about N'Keal Harry. So N'Keal Harry, he was second on the team in targets with 6. He did have those 5 receptions, the same as Julian Edelman. I think Edelman is a solid starter for you as a wide receiver 3 in PPR leagues. Not a problem. Harry was second on the team in targets with 6. The big thing is that the Patriots are going to have to throw the ball this season. So against a team like Miami, they can play defense and run the ball and be just fine. But on the Patriots' schedule this year, they have Seattle, they have Kansas City, they have Baltimore, they have Houston, they have San Francisco, they have the Arizona Cardinals, and they have the Los Angeles Rams. You can't really ball control against those teams. Now, I know, obviously, N'Keal Harry is going to see some of the top corners on those teams, which are very talented. So obviously that could factor in. But I think N'Keal Harry is going to get those targets. It's going to be Edelman and Harry in the passing game. Harry played the most snaps. He played 55 snaps out of 62, along with Damir Bird. Julian Edelman played 35 snaps. So to me, Harry's going to be on the field a lot. And I think he's going to get targets from Cam. And I think he's going to start to get into a rhythm. We all know that Cam likes those big-bodied receivers. Harry is that. They're going to have to throw the football. They're not going to be able to run, grind, play defense against more than half of their schedule. Harry is going to garner targets here, and I think he is going to be fantasy relevant for you as the season goes on. Maybe even as early as next week. See, they play Seattle in week 2. That's going to be really interesting to see the game plan change because Seattle can score 35 points pretty easily. The Patriots, I don't think, can. So I think Cam is going to have a lot more passing attempts. And I think N'Keal Harry and Julian Edelman are both going to be fantasy relevant. Harry might take a little bit longer for you to trust as a starter, but I think Edelman's going to be just fine. You know, Harry did try to make a play for a score and he fumbled it out of the end zone, which made me infinitely sad because he was running towards the end zone. And as he went to kind of gather himself and reach out, he fumbled it and it went out of the end zone. So it was great effort, but it was bad result. So I think if you have that vision of N'Keal Harry, like, oh, Cam, they're just going to run and they're going to play defense and he's not going to get a lot of targets and he fumbled out of the end zone, there's no one else there that's going to get, they're not going to bench N'Keal Harry. They're not going to put Jacoby Myers and Damir Bird. They don't have a deep wide receiver core on that team. Gunnar Olszewski is not going to be a thing just yet. So I think N'Keal Harry, take what happened in week one and go out and buy N'Keal Harry. I think it's the perfect situation to do that. They're going to have to throw. And I like that for Cam. I like it for Edelman. And I like it for Harry. I also like it for James White in this offense too. You know, he's going to be the pass catching back for the most part. Sony Michel doesn't do anything in the passing game. So I like it for James White as well. So that's where I'm at with the Patriots offense. We saw it in week one. It's going to be different a lot of other weeks this year.
Okay. Now I'm going to go with the team that I saw a lot of today, and that's the Vikings. And they need Jefferson and Irv to progress very quickly. Because, man, that offense looks so desperate for a playmaker other than Thielen, who got 8 targets, and BC Johnson, Jefferson, Irv, and Kyle Rudolph had 10 targets together.
Yeah.
Thielen had 8. These guys had 10 together.
Yeah, Madison had a lot of targets, and Cook didn't get a lot of work in the passing game.
Madison had 4 targets, 4 catches. I thought Madison looked tremendous, and I'm sitting here thinking, you guys gave Cook a ton of money, and Madison is so talented. Like, maybe that's what it's going to be. It's going to be that two-headed backfield. They both looked very good. Cook had his moments. Madison had his moments. That backfield, if they really want to, they could just run. But man, when they need to pass, they're desperate other than Thielen. I mean, Alexander for the Packers, the corner, he had a pick when he was covering Thielen.
And Jair Alexander, he's good.
Yeah, he's so good. And when they're expecting you to throw it to one person, it's going to be easier for the defense to key in on that. So I think they need Jefferson to progress more and very quickly, because BC Johnson's fine. I think of BC Johnson like I think of Russell Gage. They're good players, but they're never going to boost a team a crazy amount. You know what I mean? Like, I like Russell Gage too. I like BC Johnson, but they're not going to be like, wow, this guy's a game changer. And sure, Jefferson can be. Jefferson is a guy that can be a game changer. I like Jefferson. I think it's going to take him a little bit because of the whole entire no preseason and limited training camp. So yeah, they need this to happen quickly, and they also need to get Cook more involved in the passing game. 1 target. Come on, Vikings. You just gave this guy a bag of money and you're giving him 1 target. Come on, Kubiak, get out of your own head.
Yeah, that was absolute weak sauce. So Tim, you've got 1 more takeaway, and I love this one.
Yeah, we all saw Josh Jacobs run for over 1,000 yards as a rookie last year, and there was no doubt he could do it again. Everybody's questions coming in was, would they use him more in the passing game? And this week we saw him get 6 targets. He caught 4 of them. Ran the ball 25 times, 93 yards, ran for 3 touchdowns. So he does what he does on the ground, man. The guy's an animal when he's running the ball.
He's so good. He is such a good running back.
He's got decent speed for a guy his size. He's got good agility for a guy his size. But this man's not afraid of contact. He likes to lay the wood to the defender first. He's fun to watch as a running back. What I was very excited to see, though, was the fact that he saw 6 targets, and he proved he can play that role. He caught 4 of them for another 46 yards. You take that nearly 100 yards and the upside of a touchdown almost every week on the ground, and tell me he's going to catch another 4 to 5 passes every week and get you somewhere between 30 and 50 yards on the ground or through the air. I mean, you're talking about a guy who has the potential. He's now shown the potential with this usage in the air attack to be a top 3 running back for fantasy purposes. And I absolutely love it.
Yeah, the Raiders offensive line was doing a marvelous job. And the only other really running back that I saw get any work for the Raiders was Devontae Booker, if you remember.
And he was playing receiver more than he was.
He was, yeah. So it was just an interesting. I loved what I saw out of Jacobs today. I know that Carolina defense is a rebuilding unit, but yeah, I still loved what I saw out of Jacobs. I'm a big fan. So I love that take. For my last takeaway, I watched a good amount of that Chargers-Bengals game. And I got to tell you, Josh Kelly is going to be a problem for you Austin Eckler owners. He had 12 carries for 60 yards. He did get the touchdown. He looked strong in between the tackles. He had a 25-yard run that was really nice. He just looked the part of a two-down back in that system. Justin Jackson only got two carries. So to me, it's clearly Joshua Kelly as the number two guy, or maybe the 1A, 1B with Eckler. The biggest concerning thing about Eckler, the reason I was fading him hard in Dynasty and Redraft, is that the Phillip Rivers factor, right? We all know Rivers loves to check down to the running backs. What did he do today for the Colts? Jonathan Taylor had six receptions. So now Eckler doesn't have Phillip Rivers. He only gets one target with Tyrod Taylor. This was my main concern, is that I like Eckler as a player. Don't get me wrong. I think he's talented. It's the situation that I don't.
He looked good running. I mean, Eckler looked very good as a running back.
He did look good running, but if he's not going to get that passing work, that's a huge, huge concern if they're not going to throw to their running backs. So the Rivers factor was huge, it looks like. You know, we've seen it. He changes teams. He's the same Phillip Rivers, even in the fourth quarter. Like when he spits the bit, he's the same guy. He's the same guy passing to his running backs out of the backfield. Tyrod Taylor is not that guy. So that's a huge concern for me for Eckler. I know it's only week one. I'm trying not to overreact. But if Joshua Kelly is going to eat in and get 12 carries and he's going to be maybe that guy around the goal line, like, man, that makes Austin Eckler, you know, he was going in the late second, third rounds in startups. That could be a pick that is going to come back and haunt you. I'm hoping it's not the case, but just looking at week one as a takeaway, concerning. And I like Josh Kelly.
I think that's why Herbert's going to come in sooner too, because I think the offense is going to be upset that Tyrod isn't using Eckler. Like, I legit think the offensive coordinator, who is Rex Ryan's son, I forgot his name. They're going to be like, okay, you're not using Eckler, like, and you're not going down the field. You're not spicing this offense up. And I just think, like I said, Herbert's going to come in sooner. Herbert's a very smart quarterback, and I do think Herbert will use Eckler. That's very wishful thinking too.
So I've got one more takeaway. It's a live takeaway, because as of we're recording, the Rams Cowboys game is going on in the background. I think it's happening. CeeDee Lamb is leading the team in targets. He's got four receptions for 57 yards. Amari Cooper has four targets. We've got Michael Gallup with two. Is CeeDee Lamb going to be the number one receiver on this team this year?
Well, they got Jalen Ramsey on Cooper. So Dak is smart enough to be like, nope, I'm not going after Cooper.
But is CeeDee always going to be that matchup problem every single week? I think he might be.
I think he will be. Yeah.
I think he will be.
And it would take a fundamental shift by a defense to say, okay, we're going to take the rookie away.
Yeah.
Instead of the, you know.
You're going to rob Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
Yep.
But like Lamb is going to torch all these nickel corners. Most
I think the deal against the Cowboys is sit back and play zone and hope your boys can make some plays in coverage, because you try to man these guys up, you're going to have those matchup issues. Like,
and I think that's why Jerry
I was like, ooh, this is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Doug, you said you had one more. I actually have two more names I want to bring up. First one being Paris Campbell of the Colts. I think Paris Campbell is going to transition to be the wide receiver one for the Colts. He did look very good this week. I was kind of snagging him or trying to trade from him in leagues this summer. Took him in my couple redraft leagues as well. And then the second, and it's not so much like a takeaway from week one, just kind of a tip. We saw the usage of the Cleveland running backs once the game got out of hand. If you think that the Browns are going to be chasing points, it's a week to fade Chubb, because once they got, you know, behind by more than two scores,
it was Kareem Hunt.
He is their passing downs running back. Not that Chubb can't do it. Kareem is just extremely good in that role. So we saw Kareem.
And now he's tied to the Browns for the next few years too.
Yes, he did get the extension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I do fear for Chubb and his future with the Browns, because of the fact that I think the Browns are just so like, oh, nope, he's our first and second down back. That's it. Like, he ain't anything else.
So pay attention to how the Steelers look tomorrow night. If they look like they're going to be if Ben's healthy and they look like they're going to be a problem for teams again, you might want to fade Chubb in the Browns matchups. I don't have the Browns schedule in front of me, but anytime
Baltimore,
they're going up against, Baltimore again, a big time offense, I think that's a game you want to fade Chubb a little bit.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to swallow, because Chubb Chubb needs 20 carries in a game to fully.
The good news for Cleveland this year. So obviously they play the other AFC North. They play Washington. They have a game against Indy, Vegas. They've got Jacksonville, Tennessee, the Giants, the Jets. So they have one of the easier schedules in the league, I believe. So, you know, they do have some tough matchups. Playing their divisional rivals a couple times. They play the NFC East, so they play Philly and Dallas as well. But looking at their schedule, it's not out of the realm that they could be leading some of these games. It really just depends on how good is the defense and what is Baker Mayfield. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that's the questions that you need answered about that.
Yeah. Week one, man, crazy, crazy, crazy week one, but happy we were here. Like, I was so happy there was football. We all thought there was going to be football in July. Like, back in July, we're sitting like, oh, maybe it's not going to happen.
Tyler, you're the most optimistic of all of us.
That is very true.
I was very pessimistic, which is usually not me, but
yeah, I was like, this ain't going to happen.
It's week one. You never know what can happen, right? So, hey, I just want to remind you that we are brought to you this week by Manscaped. So remember to get 20% off and free shipping with the code DHH, if I could talk, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and using code DHH. Make sure to shave your bits. Your ladies will love it. You'll feel better about yourself. You know, you'll look a little bit more toned. It's true. It's science. And don't forget to check out dynastyhappyhour.com. All sorts of articles. You can do your own ranks and check out the staff's ranks as well. So check out dynastyhappyhour.com and check out the shop if you're looking to get a shirt, a sweatshirt, all sorts of stuff from any of the podcasts on the network. They are all on the Dynasty Happy Hour. We will be off in week two. We're coming to you in the odd weeks this year. So we will see you guys in week three on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DuffFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.